Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is the first ever Entree Leadership Podcast, and let me tell you, we're pretty excited about this. We've had a lot of people that were asking us if we could get something like this going so we can teach them some more information about Entree Leadership. So we are happy to be bringing the very first Entree Leadership Podcast to you. Today, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. We've got a lot of information from a lesson from Dave. We've got an incredible interview with Simon Sinek. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a second. But let me tell you what you can expect from the Entree Leadership Podcast. This will be coming to you every other week. We're going to be coming to you with information, lessons, interviews, things that are going to help to grow you and help to grow your business. Little nuggets that we are expecting are going to change your life. And there are many ways that you can interact with us. We want you to follow us on Twitter at Entree Leadership. That is at Entree Leadership. And you can also email us your questions or comments at podcast@entreeleadership.com. Now, who's this guy talking to you? Well, my name is Chris Licurdo. I'm one of the VPs here at Dave Ramsey's organization. And I came on about 10 years ago, actually a little over 10 years ago. Dave sat me down and he said, Chris, here's what I need from you. I need somebody who's going to come on and run one of my businesses for me. I don't need a leader. I want somebody who's actually going to come in and take some ownership here. And so what he did is he sat me down and he said, listen, I need you to grow my live events. That's why you're here. And so for 10 years, I've been in the trenches with Dave Ramsey and the other leaders in this organization, getting our noses bloodied, taking some beatings, and learning how to make this stuff happen. It has been an incredible, incredible ride. And when I came on, we were doing about 1,600 people at live events, and the biggest event under me was over 11,000. So it's been a fun trip. And the great thing is that Dave Ramsey is the kind of leader who likes to pass on some of the leadership skills. So the reason why I am teaching you on this, the reason why I'm hosting the Entree Leadership Podcast is simply because of that. Dave has done such a great job leading his team and leading his leaders that I happen to be one of those people who are teaching this information now myself. I teach the 3-day Entree Leadership here in Nashville. Now, what is Entree Leadership? Entree Leadership is the ins and outs of absolutely growing and running your business. We focus on 3 main areas. We focus on administration. We focus on people. We focus on marketing. And what we do is in 3 days here, it's very intense, very, very, very intense, very deep information. As a matter of fact, when the people leave here, their brains are smoking because it's a lot of stuff. But what I do is I run through all of the things that we have learned for the last 17 years on how to grow a business. How does Dave Ramsey do it? How does God do it? What are the principles that we need to teach people along the way? That is the event that I teach here in Nashville. We also do that same event twice a year around the country. Dave teaches the main part of that, but it's not just Dave. I teach a couple of lessons. We got a couple other people that teach some lessons. And then a bunch of our team members actually come to the event and spend all week long doing one-on-one counseling in the areas that they specialize in. So we are literally sitting down with companies at our events, tearing their business apart, putting it back together. That is what Entree Leadership is, and that is what I am so blessed to do every single day. And that's why I'm here teaching you today. Now, what can you expect out of this show today? Well, we've got some great stuff. We do have a lesson from Dave Ramsey out of Entree Leadership. It's called Entree Leadership Defined. We also have an incredible interview with Simon Sinek. Simon Sinek is the author of the book Starting With Why. We first learned about Simon Sinek on TED.com, TED Talks. And he had an 18-minute piece on there that we enjoyed so much that we actually played it for our over 300 staff members in our staff meeting. All 18 minutes. It was an incredible piece. But we didn't just stop right there. We've also got John Acuff, who's one of the other speakers on our team here, who's also the author of the book Quitter, who sat down and did an interview with Simon. And we are going to bring that to you as well in this podcast today. So, again, what you can expect is great information, great interviews, great teachings. Stuff that is coming from a company that has been voted 5 years in a row best place to work. Now, how do you get to become the best place to work? Very simple. You send out a confidential survey to your team members where they can say anything they want to. In 5 years in a row, our team members have said that we are the best place to work. How is that possible? Well, it's a top-down thing. The information that we teach in Entree Leadership, the information that we're going to be sharing with you on this podcast right here, is the exact stuff that we do day in, day out. So sit back, get your pens ready, get your paper ready, because we got a lot of information that's going to be coming to you. And we're going to start that off with Dave Ramsey with Entree Leadership Defined.
But you need to know, as we lay the foundation tonight and start this thing, where I'm coming from, because as best I can figure out, sometimes it's a little weird. Most of the time it's just common sense, like treat other people like you'd want to be treated. That's deep, isn't it? You know, it's stuff like that. It's basic ethics. And so we live our lives that way. And those three guys, I started teaching them leadership as much as I knew about it at the time, which wasn't a whole lot. And we started figuring out how we were going to run our business. Well, that worked pretty well. Then we hit another milestone. We got to about 40 people, and we hit the wall again, because now we had the three of them and me, but we couldn't take it past that. We needed to develop another layer of leadership. Well, there's no way I had time to mentor the next layer of leadership like I had done that first layer. It's very thorough, and it's good teaching, but it's too time-consuming to grow a company with. And so, and what's a teacher do when in doubt? A teacher teaches. So I started teaching. I said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We close at 5:30 every night, so I'm going to stop at 5. Anybody who wants to learn about leadership and learn how we're running this company, you can come in at 5 o'clock, and I'll give you 30 minutes on the clock, so to speak. We don't have a clock, but so to speak, of my time that I'm paying you, and you give me 30 minutes, you stay till 6, and I'll teach for an hour. And I started teaching. Well, there's quite a few people showed up in there, and one of the guys came to me and said, hey, my wife's in the real estate business. Can she sit in? Yeah, yeah. Hey, I was telling my pastor about this. Another guy says, can he sit in? He wants to know about, you know, kind of how to run the stuff at the office of the church. Yeah, sure. Have him come on. But it was kind of weird. I was teaching one night, and I looked up, and like most of the people in the room didn't work for me. I'm not real smart, but I thought, hey, I think we could sell this. So we started selling it, and we put it together as a 3.5-day cram course in Nashville, and when you left, you were totally exhausted. I mean, by the end of the second day, people were going, I quit, I surrender, I can't breathe, you're killing me here. And so we decided to take that 3.5-day course and cram it into 5 days in Atlantis, and so you're here. And that's how this course was born. That's what we're doing. And that gives you a little background, because this, in other words, we are practitioners. This is stuff we use every day inside of our organization. As a matter of fact, if someone inside of our organization, they quote Entree Leadership as if it's our leadership Bible, because they'll go, well, that's not what Dave teaches in Entree. I mean, that's like playing the trump card, in an argument, right? Because this is our playbook. This is the guidelines, the value systems, the operating principles that we're going to unpack for you. Because my goal was, I didn't want employees. When I started, I said, man, I don't want employees. Because as far as I'm concerned, employees, you know, they come late, leave early, and steal while they're there. I don't want employees. And one of the guys that started with me 17 years ago, Russ Carroll, our lead counselor, is the first hire I made, and he's still with me. His wife was at the Christmas party, and we got like 1,000 people in the room with spouses and kids, and it was amazing, huge room full of people. And she said, you sure, for a guy who didn't want employees, you sure got a lot of employees? I said, I still don't have a single employee, but I got a great team, because these people are on my team. They're not employees. I'm not their boss. I'm their leader. And there's a difference, because what we've grown inside of our organization are what we call Entree Leaders. Because one of the first things I did was I sat down and said, do I want to build leaders? Because when I say leadership, having gone through business college, you know, having gotten a degree in business, when I say leadership, I think of a management textbook, dry, crackly, theoretical, when I hear leadership. Well, maybe I want a bunch of entrepreneurs. Oh, God, no. A whole building full of entrepreneurs. That'd be like trying to nail Jell-O to a tree, you know? I don't want to do that either. So I'm trying to figure out how to do this. And this is the exercise I went through to determine the name of this thing and what we're trying to grow, called Entree Leaders. The first thing I did is I looked at leaders. Here's the deal. I want you to picture someone in your mind that is a great leader. Maybe it's someone you know personally, that has led you. Maybe it's someone you think is a great leader from a distance. But when you picture that person that's a great leader in your mind, I want you to write down one word character qualities of a great leader. One word character qualities of a great leader. Go. Okay, now what I want you to do now is look down that page where you wrote down these one-word character qualities of a great leader, and I want you to pick your favorite one, the one that really epitomizes, if you had to pick one, put a star by it, the best one on the list, because we're going to type a few of them up here. Raise your hand, let me call on you. Yes, sir.
Inspirational.
A great leader is inspirational. Very good. Somebody else. Right here.
Integral.
Can I just say integrity? Good. There's a character quality. Integrity has to be on there. Excellent. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Humility.
Oh, these are, you guys are, you're rock stars. These are perfect. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Decisive.
Always. You can't be a leader if you can't make a decision. Yes, sir.
Principle.
Very good. Yes, ma'am.
Driven.
Driven. Principle. Driven.
Kind.
Kind. Ooh, very good. You guys are awesome. Yeah.
Wise.
What is a great leader? TG.
Loyal.
Oh, love it. Yep.
Consistent.
Yes. All right, look at that list for a second. No, nobody ever does, but I always want to give you the opportunity. Does anybody see anything on there that just absolutely shouldn't be there that we messed up and you got to take it off? Not because you got a better one, but it's just completely wrong. Anybody want to take one off? They never do, but okay. Just want to give you that chance. That was quick. Now, look at that. So what we're saying, are we agreeing in this room that that list, plus or minus a few more, I mean, we're not going to go on all night with this, is a pretty good working definition for those of us in North America particularly of what we think of when we think of a great leader. Is that what a great leader is? Say yes or no.
Yes.
Say it loud.
Yes.
Okay, this is what a leader is. A leader is inspirational. They have integrity. They're humble. They're decisive. They're driven. They're kind. They're wise. They're loyal. They're consistent. They enable others. They are a person who recognizes, passes the credit, doesn't take all of it themselves. That's how I get, that's what I took out of that. Is that okay? And there are many other things too, but there are certainly those things. That's pretty good. There's some rock star ones on there. But that's a pretty dadgum good definition. So here's the deal. Here's how this week works. And here's how it works around our organization. If we bring you on our team in order to lead, or you want to gravitate towards leadership inside of our team, this is not a theory. This is not something you read in a book. If you want to lead, if you expect to be anything but the guy who signs the check and you got to do what I say, you wimp, you horrible boss, if you want to be anything other than that, if you really want to lead, this is you. This isn't a theory. You got to be this. When you're not this, you suck. You're a horrible leader when you're not these things. When people ask you and they walk in and they say, I'm going to pledge my life. I'm going to put 40 or 80 hours a week here. I'm going to sell my dreams into this thing. I'm going to give you all my creative juices. You got to be this for them. And to the extent you are, you're blowing it. This is who they want to lead them. You want to hire people on your team to grow leaders on your team? Hire people that are this. Don't bring in some total twisted guy who hasn't told the truth in his life and expect him to lead. He has a little problem with lying. Is what? That's an oxymoronic. There's no such thing as a little problem with lying in leadership. You're not a leader. You're a disaster to the extent you're not these things. And I got to tell you, when I look at that list, there's a couple of those I could work on. I'm not perfect. When I look at that list and I measure myself against that list, I go, yeah, Dave's got some work to do. How many of you see some things on there you could work on? Get your hands up. Humility's one of them. I look at that thing just like you, and I wish I could do better. And I'm doing better. Standing up here at almost 50 years old versus when I started at 32, I'm a rock star leader compared to where I was. And that's all I'm going to ask of you, is that you start getting better every single day, every single week, every single year, because that's all your people want. Admit your mistakes and keep going.
All right, leaders, let me ask you a question. Did you write down your list? Do you have your list of things that you are either great at or not so great at? Do you have your list of things that describes the character qualities of a leader? Have you circled or starred the ones that you're good at or the ones that you need help with? Because, folks, let me tell you, that is one of the most important first steps of a leader, is to find those areas that you've got to work on. When we teach this lesson, it's a blast. It's great for me because, you know, we're starting. This is the opening lesson of Entree Leadership. So we're getting people in, we're getting them started, and immediately, man, we just step right on their toes. But it's in a good way. You know, it kind of sets them back a little bit, but it sets a tone for the event. It's a way of saying, listen, we've got to start, if we're going to look at our company, we're going to look at our business, we're going to look at how we're going to grow this, how we're going to grow our teams, we've got to start with me. I am the problem with my team. I am the problem with my company, but I'm also the solution. So you've got to look at your list. I know as I teach this, one of the things that I share at my On Trail Leadership is that a word that always comes up is communication. And communication, I will share with the team or the attendees there that that's an area that I struggle with. And how I know about that is simple. About 10 years ago, I instituted a meeting with my team. And what it was a 30-minute meeting of bringing my team members in and letting them know, hey, this meeting is for you to tell me what's wrong with me. This is not about you. This is not about the things that I think you need to work on. This is you telling me about me. Yeah, give that one a try. See how that works out for you. It was very fun and interesting. I brought in my very first hire, Teresa Duke, who was the who was one of my sales team leaders. And I sat her down and I said, Teresa, this is what this meeting's for. Feel free. Tell it like it is. Don't hold back. Ready, go. And without skipping a beat, she goes, Chris, your communication stinks. Well, after I got myself up off of the floor, because I wasn't expecting that one, I looked at her and I said, Teresa, what are you talking about? And she goes, well, you know this thing over here with the stuff that's going on? Yeah. Yeah, I do. She goes, well, we don't know anything about that. I said, you're kidding. How is that possible? I assumed you knew everything that was going on. She goes, well, Chris, that's the problem. You assume that we know what's going on inside of your head. And until you've actually communicated that information to us, we're stuck. We're actually frozen in time here. We need something from you. That was a huge, huge impact for me in my leadership that day right there. That was the day that I put a circle, a star, an underline, and highlighted communication is one of the things that I must work on. And let me tell you, almost 11 years later, I'm still working on it. It's not something that I'm perfect at. It's not something that I'm great at. It's something that I will be working on for the rest of my life. Those are the things that you need to be highlighting, circling, putting a star by. What is it on your list that you need to work on? What is it that you need to know? I'm great at this, but this is an area that I've got to really focus on. All right, moving right along. We are now going to jump into the interview with Simon Sinek. This is really exciting. Like I said, we found out about Simon Sinek on TED.com. Now, Simon Sinek, this guy is an amazing teacher. This is a guy who teaches leaders and companies around the world how to inspire people. And I'm talking about people from members of Congress to foreign ambassadors to businesses and corporations like Microsoft, Nike. I mean, big, big companies. He's teaching people from Hollywood to the Pentagon. So he's touching all ends of the spectrum on this. And how we came across Simon is one of our team members here, Mike Pappas, was up late one night and he was watching TED.com. And he came across this piece and he felt the comfort to shoot an email to Dave and say, listen, I think you need to hear this. I think our team needs to hear this. Dave, being the leader that he is, thanked Mike and played it in our staff meeting. Now, are you that type of leader that your team feels comfortable enough to send you an email about something that you need to share with your team? That is what we do here every day. That's the kind of leader that we're working with. So he played this for our team, and let me tell you, it just blew our whole company away. So you are going to enjoy this. Again, the person who was doing the interview here, John Acuff. This is one of our great young leaders on our team. He's been here for about a year now. He wrote the book Quitter, which is a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. So he has had a fabulous ride with just a year on our team. He's doing an incredible job going around the country, speaking, teaching people on his new book, Quitter. And he's sitting in with Simon doing an incredible interview. So here we are with that interview right here.
Hey, Simon, how are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us today. I'm going to go ahead and jump right in and ask you, what was your why for writing Start With Why?
Well, the book, everything that I do, whether it's the book or teaching or speaking, everything I do is designed to inspire people to do the things that inspire them. It's why I wake up every day. And for me, the fun is to find all the different ways that I can bring that to life. And so the book is just another medium that I can share my message.
All right. In the book Love Marks, author Kevin Roberts argues that some brands build up so much love with their fans that when they make a mistake, their fans show them grace. And he cites a string of bad Apple products in the 80s and 90s as an example. Or when they did the iPhone release and raised the price or lowered the price a couple months later, he said that people didn't mind because they understood the love for that brand so strongly. Do you think that having a clear, strong, engaging why engenders people in the same way, and that I'll give you more leeway as a company, as a movement, as a brand, as an experience, because I'm so enthralled with your why?
I don't think it's similar. I think it's exactly the same thing. The concept of love, the emotion of love, is born out of where the why exists in the brain. So to say that we have love for a brand is because they have a clear why, and our why relates to theirs. It corresponds with theirs. And so what he actually talks about is absolutely 100% correct, but he talks about the emotional reaction we have when those whys are clear. Again, you know, the concept of why is grounded in the tenets of biology, and it exists in the part of the brain that controls all our behavior and all of our feelings, like love, but it doesn't control language, which is why it's hard to put into words, and which is why we default to the feeling. That's why we say, it just feels right. It's why we say, I love that company, or I love that brand. It is because of the why. So I would agree with his conclusions, absolutely. And when we understand the context for why companies do things, when we understand why they do what they do, we are absolutely more forgiving. When a why is fuzzy, when we don't know why they do what they do, we default to only the tangible and rational things, and we become less patient. And you see this all the time in government as well. You know, politicians, where we have a clear sense of their why, they seem to be sort of able to get through more scandals, where politicians who all they do is criticize their competition, or, you know, are only sort of jumping on the next bandwagon. When they do something wrong, we're all over them, and it can often end careers. It's all exactly the same thing.
When I love the idea of the why, because I feel like it's about finding the true you, not a new you. You're not saying, let's go manufacture or cultivate a why. You're saying, let's remove the layers of the other things and find out what's true. What's your Steve Jobs, not what's your version of being Steve Jobs?
Exactly. And understanding how Apple works or how Steve Jobs works is three pieces. Every single organization on the planet, even our own careers, function on three levels: why we do what we do, how we do it, and what we do. And you have to have all those three pieces in line. The problem is, most of us are only even aware of two of those pieces, how and what. We call it strategy and tactics. We don't even have a word for why. And the reason that you're absolutely right, this is, you know, the concept of why is not an invention, it's a discovery. It is beneath layers. And at the end of the day, a company is nothing more than a collection of people. It's a culture. It's a community. And when the culture and the community is strong, when the why is clear, that collection of people will operate like an individual. So we can talk about organizations or companies like we talk about individuals, right? Apple is born out of the person called Steve Jobs, right? It takes on his personality. And correctly, it should. It is one of the things that he has done in his life to bring his own cause to life. Just as Microsoft was born in the image of Bill Gates, and Virgin was born in the image of Richard Branson, and the United States was born in the image of Thomas Jefferson and the Founding Fathers. You know, these are tangible existences born out of a person and their philosophies about the world, which means they function like people. So absolutely true. It's all three pieces must be in line, and the why must be clear, and it always comes from the roots. It always comes from the founding and from the beginning. And it's not lost on me that when companies lose their why, when their why goes fuzzy, and they start to have problems, and the outside world becomes unclear on why they do what they do, what do they always say? We have to go back to basics. They always talk about going back to basics. What does that mean? That means we go back to where we started and our founding principles and, you know, where we came from and the original problems we were trying to solve when we founded our company, and that's where we went back to. And it is always a process of discovery, and you only ever have one why. It never, ever, ever changes. It is just like a person. An organization has one why, and it comes from its founding.
Well, and one of the things that I appreciate about the why is that I believe it's only going to become more important. And by that, I mean this generation and the generation behind it are going to be over-marketed, over, you know, information flow, if you will. And I had a humorous example of this the other day. My 7-year-old daughter, Ellie, at the dinner table said, Dad, my feet smell bad, but in a good kind of way. And then she paused and said, you should tweet that. And she told me I should tweet that. And so she's seven. And she, not only is she writing tweets, she's writing them short enough because she knows that if you want somebody to retweet it, it has to be 120 characters, not 140. So my fear is that to break through the clutter, to break through just the mass of information we're all going to be experiencing, you really have to have your why. So if I'm a leader, I'm a small business leader, and I'm sitting here today and I'm listening to this podcast, and I grew up, I was educated in, I've lived and breathed the world of what and when and where, what are some of those first steps I take to start to discover that why?
A why is born out of our own experience. It comes from us. You know, our why is formed probably entirely by the time we're about 19 or 20. And so the rest of our lives are really the opportunities to bring our whys to life. The decisions we make either keep us in balance with our why, meaning what and how are in balance with why, or they're not. And the times it is, everything feels good, everything seems to go perfectly, everything we touch seems to turn to gold, we seem to enjoy everything more no matter how hard we work. When things are out of balance, things become a struggle, passion goes down, stress goes up, we become more obsessed with our competition than with ourselves, and these are symptoms of a why or a golden circle out of balance. And so to find your why, you really go backwards. You don't ask the outside world, you look at your own life or you look at your own business, and you look for patterns. There are consistent patterns, which is when everything seems to be great, you see a commonality, which is you're driven by the same thing, you're conducting the same behaviors, and everything you're doing is proving it. And so really what you want to do is find the times where you absolutely loved going to work. I'm talking very, very specific. A project you worked on that you loved. You might have worked hard, you may not have made a lot of money, but you loved it. And if everything could be like this time, oh, life would be good. Find those instances. Find those instances where the only way you can describe the experience you had was, I absolutely loved it. And look for the commonalities. And if you want, just as a foil, find the times where you hated it, and you'll find that the exact same list of things that were there when you loved it weren't there when you hated it. Even though superficially they may have looked the same as a similar client, as a similar challenge, there's going to be some significant differences. So the opportunity is to go backwards. Find the times you loved what you were doing in your personal life or your business life, and look for the patterns. What did they have in common? What was driving the decisions? What was so fantastic about it? And dig and dig and dig until you can go no deeper.
Well, I love that idea of to go forward, you have to go back. And part of what I really like about why is that so many times people say to me, what are the next trends? What are the next trends? And I always say, they're the same things we've always cared about. It's loneliness and happiness and joy. Yeah. And, you know, don't chase trend, chase truth. You know, these aren't unique new things. And I believe that, like you said, why is formed long ago. My last question today, and it comes out of an experience I've had here. I've been with the team for about 4 months, but 2 years ago, one of the things that Dave Ramsey does that's different than any other company I've been at is we have a staff meeting on Monday for an hour, hour and a half, and then a weekly devotional on Wednesday for an hour and a half. And we do he buys lunch for the team too on Tuesdays or Thursdays. So multiple times during the week, you are with everybody. There are no secrets. The why is constantly communicated. And in one of those sessions, I heard him say, because our meetings are in a different building, he said, hey, and this was off the cuff, but he just said, I don't want us to be a traffic jam in the parking lot. We've got customers and fans that are trying to pull in, and we're getting in the way. I want us, that's part of the brand. That's part of our why is how we treat people in the parking lot. And so for me, it was, he broke down this very big why into a very tangible parking lot experience. What are some of the other ways that in a day-to-day situation, a leader can constantly keep people focused on the why?
Well, let's pay Dave Ramsey credit, first of all, because one of the things, don't forget, a why is born out of a human experience. It is a biological constant, right? And as social animals, we want to be surrounded by people who believe what we believe. When we are surrounded by people who believe what we believe, trust emerges. Trust is a human experience. It is a feeling. And only when trust exists, are we willing to take risks? Are we willing to experiment? Are we willing to try new things or explore? Only when trust exists are we willing to do something for the greater good for the company and not just for personal gain. And so let's pay huge credit. One of the things that you do as a company is you come together as a company, which is you take hours out of a week where everybody stops what they're doing for no other reason than to be amongst people who believe what you believe. You're creating a strong sense of community and culture and togetherness, and you talk candidly, and you share values, and you share beliefs, and you share stories. And if somebody's uncomfortable with those things, they'll probably leave, and that's a good thing. And for most of the people who work there, who quote-unquote love their jobs, it's because it's not the work you're doing or the bonus you're getting, it's because you feel that you belong. You feel amongst people who are like you. And so I pay you huge credit for that. That's very, very important. And the most important thing to do to keep a why front and center in an organization is to talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about it. Give examples of it. Tell stories of it. Use metaphors. This is where myths and stories come from in history, which is it's our ability, it's our attempt to put our values and beliefs into words with a part of the brain that doesn't control language, which is why we talk around it, which is why we tell stories, which is why we use metaphors. And so the fact that he uses these stories of that we have to represent it in the parking lot as well, these are stories, these are metaphors, but they're born out of the belief that he has. And so there's an inextricable link between leadership and communication. Those who lead can clearly communicate what they believe, and those who can clearly communicate what they believe are the ones who lead. So absolutely the single most important thing to do, even if the words are imperfect, talk about it, talk about it, talk about it. No one will know your vision if you don't talk about it. If you do, and if they believe it, they will help you build it.
Well, Simon, this has been a pleasure for me. I think the last thing I want to say is that the idea of the why, the encouragement of the why, the challenge of the why, it's not a business principle, it's not a political principle, it's not a work principle, it's a life principle. You can see the need and value of a why in a marriage just as easily as you can see it in a small business. And my hope is that people will continue to engage in that and see what can transpire out of that. So what's the best way, if I'm listening right now and I want to find out more about you, what's the best way that I can do that? Twitter?
Well, I do it all. Obviously, there's the book, Start With Why, which also is now available on audio. On Twitter, I'm at Simon Sinek, S for sugar, I-N-E-K, at Simon Sinek. You can go to the website, startwithwhy.com. And we also have an online course to help people find their why. It's a self-guided online course with videos of me helping you go through this process to find your why, and Facebook as well.
Well, that is awesome. And I hope if you're ever down in the Nashville area or if we're ever up in New York, we'll be able to connect because it has been fantastic. So
thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for what you do, and know that there are people in places you may not have visited that treasure it and value it and are challenged by it.
Thank you, and thank you for helping me share that message.
I love that interview. That is some great stuff, man. Getting the why. That is huge. I do this all the time working with companies, and they spend so much time on the what. They focus on the what. One of the things that Simon talks about in his TED Talk is that TiVo, a great DVR, as a matter of fact, arguably one of the best DVRs on the planet, when they came out with their brand launch, they came out with the what. They came out saying, hey, listen, this is what TiVo does. This, and this. You can buy it here. Ready, go. People did not flood the stores. What they should have done is come out and said, if you are interested in controlling your life, if you are interested in controlling your entertainment, your media, your TV shows with no commercials on your time so you can take care of the family, you can take care of the kids, and then you can watch your shows when you want to, that is TiVo. Here's the things that it does as well, and here's where you can get it. Now, that would have sold. That would have been the way to do it. Folks, that's what you need to be focusing on. You need to find out what is the why. What is your why with your team? What is your why with your company? And what is the why with your products? As you focus on those are the things that are going to sell people. It's going to sell people to follow you as a leader. It's going to sell people to buy your products. Make sure you're getting to the why. Well, folks, that's it. That is the first ever Entree Leadership Podcast. And let me tell you, this was fun for us. I hope that you've taken a lot of notes. I hope that you've gotten a lot of information out of this. And I hope that you've got a lot of stuff that's going to change your life and change your business. What can you expect? We will be doing this every other week. This will be coming to you every other week. We want you to be involved as well. How can you do that? Very simple. You can send us your questions, send us your comments. You can do it a couple of ways. You can do it on Twitter, at Entree Leadership. That is at Entree Leadership on Twitter. You can also send it to us in an email at podcast@entreeleadership.com. Listen, we want to hear from you. We want to know what you want to know. What kind of questions do you have and what kind of comments? Are you enjoying this? Are you having fun with this? So make sure that you're sending that in. I also want to do a bunch of thank yous here. I want to thank Chris Mefford, our producer, Zach Bennett, our sound engineer, Becky Tennell, who we call our director of awesomeness, Colin Fatke, our show editor, of course, John Acuff and Simon Sinek, and no other than Dave Ramsey. And folks, this has been a blast. We hope you've enjoyed it. Go out there, start putting these changes in place. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we look forward to seeing you again in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.